Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the people and topics and issues that are important to you. And a very important person here today, El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman is here. Hello.
Good morning, Renee. Thank you for having me again.
Well, it is fantastic to see you. And we have lots to talk about today.
Yes, we do. Lots happening in the Clerk and Recorder's office.
Exactly. And we have an election coming up, which you're going to talk about November 5th.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about that. And then we are going to talk about motor vehicle stuff. And then we're going to talk about, I'm sure, the latest and greatest, because you guys are always implementing
new stuff.
We're always
very innovative and tips on what a citizen can do to minimize their weight. You
absolutely. Betcha. I remember last year when I told you of my tail. And you just kind of looked at me like, really? Like, I didn't get my renewal notice.
Yeah.
And I go running to the kiosk, and oh my gosh! And you're like, you could have just used the app, Renee. And I was like,
we have an app for that.
Oh yeah, we have an app for that. So we're going to talk all of that. But let's get started with the upcoming election. You and I were talking before we got started, and are all the ballot issues now turned in?
Yes, as of 2 weeks ago, the various entities that were going to place items on the ballot, whether it's a candidate race or an issue before the voters in their jurisdiction, they certify that. And then last week, we've been busy laying out the ballots, making sure that design is one that's easy for citizens to vote and to understand. We proof what has been certified by the municipalities and jurisdictions multiple times, 9 times. We keep on reviewing and looking at it. And if we see a typo that comes over from the jurisdiction, and we call them back and say, hey, did you mean for that comma to be there
or that
punctuation to be there? So we're going over. We work hand in glove with the jurisdiction so that the ballot issues before our citizens have clarity and is understandable for the citizens so that they can cast their decision.
Now, so you're seeing stuff for, can you say, like the city of Colorado Springs, the county, like I'm just throwing stuff, like Fountain Monument, what are you kind of seeing on the ballot this year?
So we have two statewide questions. Okay. One would be a Tabor effort that would permanently allow the state to retain the excess revenues for various purposes. Another one the state has is sports betting. As the Supreme Court a number of years ago allowed states to enter into sports betting in a larger way. There was a Supreme Court decision that allowed that. You're seeing a number of states that have passed that either in their General Assembly or placed it on their ballot for their citizens to vote on. So similarly, the state of Colorado has placed that on the ballot for this November for citizens to decide. We have the city of Colorado Springs that has two initiatives on the ballot. We have the city of Fountain and Manitou has something on the ballot. We have a number of special districts, I believe 7 special districts that have questions on the ballot. 5 municipalities that have questions. City of Manitou has a cultural and arts question, and they have candidates. They have their mayor and their city council.
Oh, is that okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
They have that up. A number of school districts, 10, I believe, that has either candidates and issues or questions before their voters. So
it's a pretty full ballot for November.
It is, but we were able to with our layout to keep it down to 8.5 by 11, so it's
going to be
concise. Usually in most elections we go to a 17 or 18 inch ballot because there's a lot of stuff, so it'll be less than what we saw in 2018. General elections have a lot of candidates, whether it's the local candidates, General Assembly, governor, you always have either a U.S. Senate or congressperson that's on that ballot. So it's a coordinated election. We in our office kind of acts as the general contractor for all the other municipalities and entities to place stuff on the ballot. The county does not have a question before the citizens this year.
Interesting.
We do that good work for all the jurisdictions.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now, where can folks, as I'm assuming the blue book will be sent out. I always call it the blue book.
Yes.
It is the big blue book, right?
The state will send that out top of the month. So you'll see that.
At the beginning of October.
Yeah, you'll see that October coming in. That is something that a special committee from the General Assembly puts that together that talks about the state questions. And then we have our Tabor notice that informs citizens here locally on any financial questions that are before their citizens. So that will go out at a similar time next month. And then we have our sample ballot. So if people want to kind of review before they get the ballot sent to them in the middle of October, coming the 23rd of September, we'll have that sample ballot on our website.
So folks can go start seeing.
Start seeing, kind of looking at it. I'm sure the various media outlets will start talking about some of those issues to kind of help educate voters. So sample ballots will be out on the 23rd. Tabor notice and Blue Book will be out the first part of October. With the ballots going out Columbus Day weekend.
And then, of course, this is always, I'm trying to look at time. Okay, so this is always a make sure, because I don't want to like, oh, that's important. Let's go to break. But you know what? So this is always a mail-in ballot.
Yes.
And so, and you've already started sending out to folks that are deployed or overseas. Have those ballots already started going out?
We will. I mean, we're in preparations this week for that. By federal law, they get their ballot sent to them 45 days ahead of time. The rest of the electorate get it 21 days ahead of time, but because of where they often at in the four corners of the world, takes a bit more time for them to get their ballot. So they're accorded that extra time by federal law. So 45 days before the election. So you have military and overseas. So obviously our armed forces, people who are stationed away from home, and then citizens who are traveling and will be out of town on election day, people who are studying or working abroad, they can avail themselves of that same service. So that goes out Friday. We have approximately 1,600 people that have requested that military and overseas ballot. I think that will go up probably into the order of around 2,000 or more, because as a spouse gets one, it reminds the others in the household, oh, I need to make that request too. So I expect to see that up. Now, in a presidential election or a general election, that number goes up considerably. In a presidential election, we can see 8,000 to 10,000 people request about because they are overseas or abroad.
And if folks need to check, like, where's the best way for them to go check, like, okay, do I need to update? Like, maybe we've had a lot of folks come home recently from being deployed, or maybe they're getting ready. Where can they go to check to see if they need to change their, status as far as that?
The best place is to govotecolorado.com. That's a website that the Secretary of State has set up, and it is available for all citizens. So if you go to govotecolorado.com, it'll ask you for your name, address, and a few other particular things to identify that is you and only you, and you can see what your address is. If it's not up to date, we want to get that up to date now, because that way when we send the ballots out here in the middle of October, now we need to have those addresses before that, because we got to print up the ballot and mail it. We don't want that ballot to get returned, because ballots are not forwardable by law. So don't think, oh, well, I moved and I left
and
the postal service.
Yeah.
You need to verify and make sure that we have your current address by going to govotecolorado.com. Or if you like the human touch, you can call our office at 575-VOTES. That's 575-VOTE or 575-8683. And you can talk to a live person and we can verify that too. If you like to avail yourself of not the tech way, but the personal way to do that.
Absolutely. Okay, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broman next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And today, we're getting you all ready for the upcoming election. El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broman is here giving you all the info you need to know. Okay, so let's run over dates really quick again.
Sure.
So, the ballots will start coming out on Columbus Day,
or mailed out. We will drop them in the mail stream with the U.S. Postal Service the Friday before Columbus Day.
Okay,
so
perfect.
They'll enter into the mail stream on Friday the 14th.
Okay.
It's a possibility there might be a few people that get them that Saturday mail delivery.
Okay.
But don't expect it.
Okay.
And then with Monday being Columbus Day and there's no delivery of the Postal Service, I expect probably a lot of people will see them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If you don't see them by the 19th or 20th at the end of the week, please call our office at 575-VOTE or 575-8683. Okay. Give it about a week after we drop it for it to get processed through the mail service.
Perfect. Okay. So about the 14th-ish. So let's talk numbers. Now, we've always, thank you for bringing all these numbers. It's a lot, but we always take a look at like registered active voters in our community, and folks need to check, of course, on their, if they're active or not, right?
Yep.
And the same place, can they go to govotecolorado.com to check on that?
That is right. You can go to govotecolorado.com and check that you're active. If you haven't voted for two elections for some reason, you're still on the voter registration rolls, but you go to an inactive status. We won't mail you the ballot. So if you stay current, stay active, you'll get that ballot 21 days in advance. So, like I said, a little bit after the Columbus Day holiday, you'll have that mailed to you.
So again, you can go check though and see if you're active. And of course, it didn't used to be that way. Like if you had not voted in two elections, that you didn't go to an inactive status. And a lot of that has become for security purposes, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, we do not want to forward your ballot to a mailbox that you're not anymore. Mm-hmm. So we want, we work hard to make sure that elections are transparent, fair, and they're secure. We don't want anyone but you to vote your ballot. That's why on the back of the envelope, when you return your ballot, we ask you to sign your name.
Right.
We do check that with sophisticated software and human eyes to verify that is you voting your ballot and not somebody else.
Exactly.
So that's why we don't forward ballots. We don't want it to get into a hand of somebody else to try and commit fraud.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about some active registered voters. And this is in all of El Paso County, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
So we're... As a community, as a county, we've been growing about 3% clip a year, and we're seeing that similar rise in the number of registered voters. So we have a little over 412,000. We have 412,519 total active registered voters.
Okay.
We have 85,725 Democratic voters. We have 157,495 Republican voters. And then unaffiliated voters, 160,261. So that they eclipsed Republican registered voters that were active about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I said to you in the break, like, wait a minute, that's new.
Yep.
So now is that starting to see a kind of a growing, I don't want to call it a trend, but starting to see more registrations for unaffiliated?
There's probably a number of factors that are at play that's driving that. It might be the age of the electorate. There's things that are probably at the macro political level that probably drives that. It's hard to say what totally drives that. I do know there's been several initiatives at the state level. We now let unaffiliated voters participate in our political primaries for the Democratic and Republican party, whereas before, if you wanted to have a voice, and often in this community, which seems to be a bit more conservative, if you wanted to have a voice, you needed to vote in that primary because often the primary decided who would be that elected official for that position come November. So now that unaffiliates are able to participate, maybe there's a different thought along, a different train of thought there.
Interesting. So it's the first time ever, right? In about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I don't know. You, I guess we could go back historically and look, 100 years ago what that makeup was. But
be interesting to do sometime, right? Like curiosity.
Well, I come across a ballot from the presidential election in El Paso County from the 1904 election with Teddy Roosevelt that we just discovered. And we're doing some research and homework on that to come later this year or next year with the presidential election. I think we'll have some updates for folks to kind of help maybe them to understand the political climate of a little over 100 years.
How interesting that you found that.
Yeah.
Was it kind of just in the files and everything like that? But that's fascinating.
There's a story about that. So
I'll
tease that for you at another date and time.
Because we're going to have to hear about that.
Yes.
I bet it's fascinating to see the ballot too.
History is fascinating. I'm a geek. I love history.
Me too. Okay, we have to take a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about ballot security and a lot more. That's coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. El Paso County Clerk and Recorder Chuck Broerman is here. And this, we had somebody call in with a question, Chuck. And this kind of leads into ballot security and, you know, going in and voting and all that stuff. So somebody called in and asked if they can use their utility bill.
Yes.
As ID.
Yes. In the state of Colorado, the rules of how we conduct election, we follow the U.S. Constitution, the state constitution, and the state statutes and the rules of the Secretary of State, how to conduct those out. In order to verify your identity, most people do it through a driver's license or Colorado ID, but there's 11 different IDs that are approved by the state of Colorado to be utilized, from federal IDs to pilot licenses and
interesting
stuff. So in addition to that, and one of the IDs, though it's very seldomly used, is a utility bill.
Okay.
That can be utilized to verify. But in Colorado, and especially in El Paso County, if you need an ID, there is a mechanism for one to get that. You can get, if you can't afford one, there is a way to get a waiver from the Department of Health Services, okay. DHS. Most people, 99.9% use a driver's license or a Colorado ID to
perfect
verify that who they are is who they are.
Perfect. Okay. And that does kind of lead into, ballot security.
Yep.
Lots of shifts have had to happen. And we've talked about this extensively, Chuck, but it's a constant changing, evolving
environment,
right?
Yes, it is. Colorado, is voters in Colorado and El Paso County are extremely fortunate. We've been judged and viewed as being the safest, most secure place in the country
for one
to vote.
Yeah.
It's because of the many layers of security that we have. It starts from the very beginning. We began ballot layout last week, and then after we do ballot layout, we test our equipment. We have state-of-the-art scanners. They have been tested at a federal level. They're tested for their accuracy between, can only have one misread per half million ballot reads.
One misread per.
Yeah, but, they tested our machines and they didn't get any errors at a half million. They went to a million, saw no errors.
That's incredible.
Went to 2 million, saw no errors. No variation. Went to 5 million, saw no error, and then they said, "We're done." You way exceed the federal standards and guidelines, but we don't rest there. After we do the ballot certification, we have our public logic and accuracy testing, where we invite members of the political party and the public to come in and actually visually see for themselves that our machines are calculating correctly,
right,
that we're putting the votes in the right bucket, that it's the yes votes truly went in the yes column and the no's went in the no's, or that the ballots went for Jane Smith and not Joan Jones,
right,
kind of thing. So
right,
we do those type of tests. All our processing and tabulation area are in a secure area. We have cameras, we have locks, we have cipher locks. The access to those rooms are tightly secured. We have bipartisan teams processing every step of the way. So we have members of the political parties that are at each station. So there are election judges. They are processing and conducting, helping us to conduct the election, because I've only got 12 employees and it takes hundreds of
people.
That's
crazy. 12 employees to do all. I mean, that's hard to think, right? 12 employees that handle
all this.
It's incredible.
But we have election judges who are bipartisan, and so they're safeguarding that process, checking everybody, so there's that check and balance in the process. We have a high-tech machine that checks your signature to verify it's you. We also have humans that then do another check on that to verify that it's you. Our election equipment cannot be tampered from the outside because they don't connect with the outside. It's a self-contained network in a secure room. So we can't have any foreign influences or bias, whether it's Russian, Chinese, or Iranian, or Joe down the street with a laptop. People can't hack into our election. And then at the end, we have a bipartisan team who canvasses that checks our work. And then we have the most sophisticated audit in the country. It's called a risk limiting audit. It's designed by some very smart people out of MIT and Cal State Berkeley that put together this mechanism. It's the most robust way to verify to you, to the citizens, that we got the election correct, that we indicated who really won in that election. And we do that in a public way too. Other states are trying to emulate what
I was going to say, and I think haven't other states and counties come and said, hey, we need to learn what you're doing. How do we do this? We need to copy this system. And we were talking, Chuck, you said that, well, Joe down the street with a computer, that does bring up cybersecurity issues, of course, as well, which has had to become, in the current state of things around, you know, the world, cybersecurity is huge.
Yeah, 2016, that election brought that to a head, but Colorado had already been thinking about that, and we were well prepared.
Kind of, working ahead.
We were well prepared and had systems and things in place. And we did a cybersecurity exercise where we had Homeland Security and various other entities that came in, and we did a desktop exercise where we had all the elements one would have, and it required clerk and recorders and our election staff to think on our feet and problem solve, and how are we going to get around these issues. The big thing we found, you know, while we have the physical and electronic safeguards to protect your vote, it's about making sure that citizens have accurate information. That's what I think is more than anything is that our office and the Secretary of State's office gets out with accurate information about the true state of the election, because there's a lot of actors out there who, with a social media post or Facebook,
and just a tweak of a couple words can change.
They want to cause doubt in people and have people second guess whether or not our process duly elected the person that won. So it's as much a public relations exercise to make sure that we are communicating the correct information to our citizens, that fake news,
do your research, and here's what is actually happening.
That you're getting the correct information. So it's a lot of work, but it's rewarding work to
do,
and I'm glad we have the staff that we have to do it.
So before, we're going to have to shift gears, because we could just keep talking. So after the break, we're going to shift gears, talk about motor vehicle stuff, and get all that done. But again, give everybody where they can go just to make sure how they're registered. Are they active? All that information to get ready for the, we're like, a month away?
We're 50 days away.
50 days away.
So if you please go to Go Vote Colorado and verify that we have your most correct address and that you are an active voter. If you have been reticent and have not voted in the last couple elections, please go in and make sure we have your correct information, you're an active voter, because that way you'll get a ballot mailed to you on the Columbus Day weekend, and that it's not that we don't then have to send one to you because your address isn't correct or not activated, because the Postal Service will not forward your ballot. You have to have that correct address. We do not want that ballot going to anyone but you.
Absolutely. Okay, we have to take a break. We'll come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Have a few minutes left with El Paso County Clerk and Recorder. Really quick, let's just give the shout out to that that website again if folks have questions.
Yeah, if you want to check your voter registration, govotecolorado.com. Mm-hmm. However, if you'd like to talk to a person in our office, call 575-VOTE, 575-8683, and you can get confirmation that you are at the address that we have you registered at, and that you will be able to get your ballot in the first wave of ballots that go out the Columbus Day weekend.
Perfect. Okay, let's talk motor vehicle. I love talking about this because every time, Chuck, you come in, it's like, now you can. Now you can do this.
Yeah, we are
anything new.
We are very innovative.
Yes.
We love our customers and they come in our office, but you know what? We try to keep people coming through our office quickly. We really work hard to keep your wait times under 25 minutes. However, if people come on the last day of the month, they procrastinate.
And
or
guess
come
what? The lines
and
get
come on Fridays. There's just no way I can humanly staff up to that volume. That's why we have Saturday office hours at our union and research office. We have Saturday office hours, only place in the state that has that. We're open from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And I hear it on good order that sometimes the clerk and recorder will open it up a few minutes before that.
So you heard it from a little birdie somewhere.
It pays to come early and get in and get out. Other innovative ways, you know, half of our 40,000 or so people a month that renew their license plate tags, about 20,000 or 50% of them do it by mail.
Right.
Others come into our office, though they don't need to. They can go to our website and do it online.
Right.
They can call our phone bank at 520-6202 get their registration renewed over the phone. We have an app for that. You can go to Gov2Go.
We have an app for that.
Download the most popular thing on Renee's phone.
I love how you stood there with me and made sure I downloaded it like Renee don't know.
So
Gov2Gov.
Gov2Go. The
G-O-V.
G-O-V, the numeral 2, and the word go, G-O. Search on that app. Download it. It's a free app. And you put in your license plate number, and then when that month comes, it will give you a reminder. You know, we have those kind reminders that come out in the mail. It's not a requirement by law for us to do that. We do that as a courtesy. It's your responsibility to know when your plate's expired, when you're due. But we send out that card. It's a multicolored card, so it sticks out in your mail. But if you go to that Gov2Go app, we will send you an electronic message at the beginning of the month saying you're due. And a couple of days before the end of the month, we'll send you a final reminder electronically saying, hey, by the way. So, and then we have our kiosks, which is something we added 2 years ago. And we hit an important milestone a few weeks ago with those.
What was that important milestone?
They're very, very popular. We had our 100,000th customer that utilized our kiosks. So in
That's
two
awesome.
Years... We've had 100,000 people. A customer by the name of Kim was the lucky
person. Did she win like a big prize? Like, here's
she got her. Some. She got
she
some,
got some kiosk love.
She got a picture that we put in our employee newspaper.
That's awesome.
And some balloons. So
were you guys like? And how would you know? You're like, oh wait. And it looks like you're the 100th person. Now it looks like you've added some more.
Well, we are working with King Soopers to add a couple more this fall.
Okay.
So the King Soopers Stetson Hills, Powers and Stetson Hills will be having one this fall.
That's
and
awesome.
Then we're gonna be going having one at the King Soopers at South Academy in Hancock. Not yet. We'll let you know.
Okay,
be looking for that. They're doing the facilitation, you know, the dropping the cable and stuff like that so that kiosk can be available. We have a 24/7 hour kiosk up at our Union and Research, and these kiosks in King Soopers will be open when King Soopers is open, which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, 5 o'clock in the morning. Until midnight at most kiosks, at most King Soopers.
See, that's great. So you can just see if you're going to the grocery store, just renew while you're there.
But if you need to renew after midnight or before 5 o'clock, the kiosk up at Union and Research is truly open 24/7.
That's awesome. And really quick, before we have to wrap up, you're hiring.
We are hiring. As most business places, you see signs out front. We are hiring. I mean, first and foremost, election. We're always looking for election judges. Over the next 13 months or so, we will have 4 elections. So we need election judges for this coordinated election, and then we'll have the presidential primary in March, the political party primaries in June, and then the presidential, the granddaddy of them all, in November of 2020.
Yeah.
But in our motor vehicle area, we look for part-time folks that can kind of work from 9:30 to 2:30, kind of that middle of the day when our volume is higher. We have some long-term temporary slots that can and often do work into more substantial employment. So if you are interested, go to EPC, that stands for El Paso County, epcjobs.info, and you can see all the offerings of the clerk and recorder's office and actually, all of the county. You can see the many positions, whether it's in the sheriff department, public service, roads, transportation, finance and accounting. If you go to epcjobs.info, you can get the whole menu of all the jobs that the county and the clerk and recorder's office is hiring.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So much great info, as always.
It is always great info.
And we're going to get you scheduled, of course, as we get closer to the election, because we always like to get you in and like, okay.
Yep.
Okay, here's the deadline. Here's the places. Here's the things. All the things.
What, that's so right. People can enjoy their franchise. Exactly. That's why we are the freest country in the world, because we allow people to voice their opinion on the direction of where we would like our government
to go. Absolutely. And that's why it's important we talk to you. Okay, so we'll get you scheduled.
All right.
Approaching the election. Sounds good. Thank you.
Sounds like a deal. Thank you,
Perfect.
Renee.
Coming up tomorrow on The Extra from the Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region, Andy Vick, Executive Director, is going to be here along with Manager of Peak Radar, Jonathan Toman, talk about Arts Month and a lot more. That is tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.